A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Here we go.
Here we go, yo. Here we go, yo.
Here we go, yo. That's my attempt at like jock jams or
both of our low energy attempt at being hype people for the podcast.
I'm going to be the guy at like a Six Flags or like Indiana Jones show at like Universal Studios being like, "Come on everyone, let's get-" I'm going to be the opener
for
the
Indiana
Jones
like,
show.
Yeah, warming up the crowd, like getting them excited and in a place of woo for the fire, the backdraft experience.
Oh my God, that's so...
Remember the backdraft experience? That was my favorite one. It just felt so dangerous. And I've never even seen the movie Backdraft.
I haven't either.
I've only been to the experience.
Remember Twister? Do you remember Twister? They had the Twister ride. That was scary.
Oh my God, no, I did not. Where was that? At Universal?
Yeah, and at the end of the ride, you're in like the movie theater drive through, and then like the thing falls. You know how it does in the movie? Like the roof falls a little. The scariest ride to me was Earthquake. It was like based on that movie Earth, like from the 70s, and it was really scary. For some reason, they had these photos of the making of the movie when you were waiting in line to go in, and they had like all these miniatures of the replicas of the cities, and then they had the people, life-size people, like, and for some reason that freaked me out. It felt really like it unsoothed me. So I made my dad take me out of line. My sister and me went out of line, and my mom went on the ride alone. She was like,
brave queen. She's got to do what she's got to do.
I think she was honestly like, I'm happy I have a moment to myself.
Finally, a peaceful moment.
Finally, a
peaceful
moment.
Ride. Yeah. Wait, I need to talk about something that a reader alerted me to, which feels like it makes so much sense.
Okay.
And maybe we knew this, but I can't remember. But so Tiffany Trump is engaged.
Oh, yeah.
To like a man who looks like just faceless. Mm-hmm. And she and him met at Lohan Beach Club.
I saw that. I was so shocked by that. Like in like 3 years ago or something?
I guess whenever the beach club was active, which we know it's not anymore. But like, what? It's a hotbed for love.
Well, Tiffany was in like that snap pack, right?
she's part of the Snap Pack that I think is like Lindsay adjacent. Like mm-hmm. sometimes they'll like party with Linz, I think.
I saw that one of the Brandt brothers passed away. It was really sad.
I know, that was sad.
I think Tiffany's like friends with those people though, right?
I think that they were part of that Snap Pack too, yeah. or Snap Pack adjacent.
That's sad, but I love knowing the daughter of America's like first like truly fascist president fell in love at Lohan Beach Club.
Yeah, it all tracks. It feels all... right.
The Federation wishes you
the
well.
Federation
in your...
thanks you.
The Federation thanks you and wishes you well in your engagement. You happy to rent out the beach club for you for your wedding? The Federation thanks. Do you think Lindsay will go to the wedding?
I hope it would be only right for her to be invited.
Yeah.
That would be a snub heard around the world. If you don't invite the ambassador of the Lohan Beach Club where you found love to your own wedding, it would be rude.
The meat bees were invited.
The meat bees are invited. What if they're serving lobster at the wedding? What will Lindsay do then?
She will go to, I will go to every table here to set the lobster free.
Keep me away from that raw bar.
Oh, keep me away from the raw bar. Oh, God, I can feel it. I can feel it now. The anguish of the lobster.
They are screaming for help. We must set them free. Band together to release them. I want Lindsay to descend upon the wedding and just like cause havoc. You know that you can't invite her to anything and have her just be chill about it. Like, you know, she would just like
make everything about her.
Yeah, she would land in like a huge hovercraft, like have an entourage of 60 and then
the
like ravage your raw bar and then
try to flush them. I can see him trying to flush lobsters down the toilet in like the bathroom.
The clams! No shellfish were harmed in the making of this wedding!
The lobsters are screaming! And the lobsters were screaming! I'm going to suck all the oysters out and keep them in my mouth and then hurl them into the sea!
Spit them one by one gently back into the ocean! Perhaps they can find their way back to a shell.
You just see Lindsay running out to like a pier at the venue and just going and spitting these like dead oysters and then they just like float away.
Fly free!
Like
swim!
Security?
Swim!
Swim! Fly free back to a shell! There looks to be shells and barnacles on the side of the dock!
Swim free.
You'd have to have extra security in place with a direct order to keep Lindsay as far away from the raw bar as possible.
I was told there was a raw bar, she says during like one of the speeches.
Security, they're like, beep, Red is close to the raw bar. Beep, she's within 50 feet.
Oh my God, I bet they give like a high alert every time she's at like an event, like to all the security people. Like, hey, just so
yeah.
you know.
You need to keep an eye on her.
Not for like security from her. I'm talking about security for the guests.
Oh yeah, no. It's full. It's like there are things that you actually need to like put a barrier between her and like certain objects or people.
I told you I saw her at this Brooklyn flea market once, right?
What was she doing there?
It was like it was in Greenpoint or something, and it was like a rainy Saturday and my friend's band was playing, so I went to go see, and I had some friends that were like selling shit there, and she came in.
I know exactly the building you're talking about.
You know what I'm talking about?
My best friend lives like,
oh yeah,
next
Jenna
to
lives
that.
Near there, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I walked in and she came in with like an entourage and she looked really good. She like perused through some of the jewelry and then went into like a VIP area that was like literally like a storage room. And hung out there.
Love that. Nothing like a VIP storage room moment
yeah.
to really make you feel chic.
But she was like looking at, she was like in all black and like looking at like some of the jewelry, which I was like, she's going to steal it.
The crafts.
Keep an eye on that one.
I love an open marketplace.
Reminds me of Athens.
I love it. The energy, the thriving energy of the bazaar.
Somehow your voice is deeper than mine when you do Lindsay.
I really got my Lindsay back. Like, for a while, I couldn't do it without, like, a cough. But now I'm, like, I'm back to my old Lohan ways.
I don't know. I think since I've quit smoking, I don't know if I can access that the same way anymore.
Yeah. I love an open market. I love the...
the hustle and bustle and energy of an open market. Am I right? Where's the closet?
Where's the VIP?
I will need to be ushered to the VIP area immediately. I have some phone calls to make to update the Federation.
Hello?
They're like, hey, we have a phone, but I don't know if...
I need a satellite phone immediately.
Immediately!
Oh my god, wait. Also, I have to... there's a show that I started watching last night that is so fucking good. It is my new obsession. Bling Empire on Netflix. Watch it now. Yesterday.
I can't wait.
It is... Netflix like is delivering me the just goods. What I truly needed. The goods to survive another day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Netflix...
It basically... Netflix knows how to do like extreme wealth reality shows.
Mm-hmm.
And this lives up to the hype. I'd seen on the Daily Mail, like there was like some sponsored post about it. And I started reading and I was like, this sounds like it might be right up my alley.
Where do they live?
They all live in LA. It's centered around a bunch of Asian people who are friends. And they also happen to be like crazy wealthy. Kind of piggybacking off like the Crazy Rich Asians movie and books that were like such huge hits. And now it's a reality show called Bling Empire, and it centers around a group of friends. Also, they're all friends. Like, they're like already knew each other and had pre-existing relationships, which, as you know, makes for the best reality TV.
Right.
And I'm obsessed with it. I'm like on episode 3 or 4 now, and I'm just like blazing through, and it's really all I'm interested in talking about.
I love that it's set in LA. I mean, Shaws of Sunset, they all knew each other before too and were friends, which the earlier seasons were like, I think, really good because they had that vibe.
Yeah, but then they just like all hated each other so much and it was chaos.
Yeah, that show got really dark, but I love like just focusing on like a group that's not always explored in LA. It's cool.
Yeah,
I'm down.
I'm like, it is chef's kiss. Mm. And especially like Netflix shoots things in such a way where it's like very shiny. Mm-hmm. Like Selling Sunset was so like sparkly and shiny. And it's like seeing candy. It's like the experience of eating candy, but your eyes are eating candy.
Yeah.
Or something sweet. It's like really soothing.
Oh, I can't wait.
Yeah, I need to know all your thoughts ASAP. My queen is the billionaire matriarch, Anna.
She's half
Japanese,
fabulous.
Half Russian. And the first time you see her, she's just like taking a sledgehammer to a wall in her closet.
Hell yeah.
For just like no reason.
That's...
And I hope to be one day so rich that I can just like sledgehammer a wall if that's what I feel like doing.
Seeing powerful women with a sledgehammer is like a balm.
Yeah, nothing better.
Nothing better.
Just busting through a wall.
Mm-hmm.
Just for shits and giggles.
Yeah. Why not?
I'm in.
I have this power. Why not use it?
Mm-hmm. And she like just shops all the time and like buys other people on the show. Like she bought one of her girlfriends like a friendship ring. She flew her girlfriend to Paris for her birthday and then brought her a friendship ring from Boucheron.
Oh.
And then, like, bought one of the other guys, this, like, male model who's so hot. Bought him, like, $5,000 of Dior.
Are they friends?
I think she's, like, taking some youngsters under her wing.
Does she have children?
She has one son who was also hot. I was like, where's he at? He's not on the show. But she's, like, she's befriending a group of like younger people, and they actually like kind of do her dirty because one day she's having them over for massages and manicures in her backyard, and two of them sneak into her bathroom and see a penis pump sitting in her shower.
Oh.
And then they throw it out the window and like I think try to embarrass her about it. And I was like, honey, pump that dick up and get yours. Like,
yeah, fuck
nothing
that.
To be ashamed about. But I was like, fuck them, justice for Anna.
I just googled her and I love her face.
It's wild.
Oh my god, I can't wait to watch this.
Yeah, it's really good.
Never shame someone for like penis pumps.
Yeah, no sex toy shame around these parts.
Anyway, speaking of powerful women, let's get into our queens.
Yeah.
I'm Carrie.
I'm Laura.
I'm Laura.
And I'm Carrie.
And you're listening to Sexy,
Unique
Podcast.
Salty
Utah Queens. Okay, so this was a good episode.
It was good. I love a vacation moment.
That's it.
We needed this travel journey.
We needed them all in one place, in another place. Except
yeah.
Mary, once again.
Whatever.
Guys, I'm getting a little concerned because they're keeping her so removed from the cast. It's like, what the fuck?
Yeah, did they film Mary's stuff like 2 years earlier and then...
I think
Did
they
she
must
realize,
have.
Like, it might be actually a really bad look for me to be so public about this, like, scheme I'm running?
I think
and then,
you're
like,
right.
She's off the show. And so then they did, like, pick up, like, a whole pickup reshoot a couple years later. But they're trying to, like, fool us into thinking, like, I feel gaslit by space and time when I watch the show sometimes.
No, I know. And, like, I'm still shook by, like, the temporal, you know...
dissonance.
Yes. And someone was like it's well known that on the other broad, like, people have been talking about this for a long time, that it, and I was like, well, I didn't fucking know that, so forgive me.
Not
if
that
I don't
well known
not that well known because I don't fucking know about it, so
like, I'm up to date on all the news, sweetheart.
Yeah.
And I didn't know a thing about it.
You
fire off a Morse code.
I was like, okay, I didn't know, but I'm still shocked. I'm shook by this, and I think your theory holds true that maybe Mary,
I think some stuff was filmed in the past and then some stuff was filmed not so far in the past, but Mary is like weirdly now separate, and I'm like, if it's gonna be like this, just get her out.
Yeah.
Do you love what a fair weather fan I am of like literally anything?
Well, yeah,
one week I'm like fucking love her, give her her own show, and then 2 seconds later I'm like, get her out of my life.
Well, yeah, if she was like, I don't want to be on this really anymore, but they were like, you sign a contract, you have to be on it. And then if she, like, then you shouldn't be. Like, if you're a cult leader.
You're not going to play ball.
And you maybe don't go on a reality show. But
yeah, if you're not, like, scamming people out of, like, their hard-earned money so you can buy, like, more houses and fill up your rooms with more clothes, and you're not willing to show that on TV.
Goodbye.
Don't be on a Bravo show.
See you. So we start out with Mary talking to her grandfather husband about her. She goes, how is the Florida home? And he was like,
He wants to sell it.
It's like, okay.
And she says something that's really weird where she's like, so you just want to get rid of it? You don't care about the money? And she's like, is that how you feel about me? You're just going to get rid of me?
She's like, please.
And he's like, what? And... I love that kind of drama, though, in a relationship where, like, the jump to conclusions levels of drama, I feel like, are running really high with Mary.
Yeah. She's like, methinks maybe that's some projection. Like, she's
that says more about her problems than it does about, like, what's happening in the relationship.
He's like, no, I just want to get this house off her hands. And she's like, please break up with me.
Yeah. Would like to be free. I was thinking Mary would like to be free of this situation. And I think maybe this show has made her realize, like, damn, I actually am in like a kind of fucked up sitch.
Yeah. Brooks and Meredith are like, okay, they're like at this organic grocery store. Meredith's cleavage is like off the wall in the scene. Did you notice?
She's looking, no, but I was just like, she's looking fierce.
She looked great, but like she's like at a casual like grocery store moment with her son, and her just like, she's wearing the lowest cut top and plunging neckline, and I'm just like, I'm here for it, and I love it.
She's got to do what she's got to do, and I think I've read a lot of like dating advice books that say that you should be your sexiest self when you're running errands because you just never know who you'll run into, and I think Meredith is just trying to follow that.
No, I was like less Brooks, more of Meredith, and just like in her splendor. Brooks is so,
he just sucks the life out of me every time I see him. And also I felt like this grocery store was like a 20 foot by 20 foot room.
Yeah.
That they were wandering around.
He was like, I want to make mint water, and I want pasta, but not like carbohydrate heavy.
She's like, what do you want to make? He goes, I'm gluten-free, dairy-free, sugar-free diet. And I was like, great. I mean, ugh.
I just like
get it. I'm like,
get a sense of humor.
Thing. You're Gen Z. Shouldn't you be like more, come up with more creative things to say than like millennial humor things? Like, I'm like, we've been there, honey.
But I'm also just like, I can't emphasize enough. Like, there's nothing worse than someone that takes themselves seriously, and nothing worse than a gay who takes himself seriously.
Amen. Don't I know it?
I know this. I mean, nothing obviously have
super serious gay.
I know, like, obviously have self-respect, but like, lighten up, like, make a crack a joke. Like, I'm like, I sound like I'm like a dated, like, I'm like a, like, why aren't you funny? Like a straight woman to like, a, but like, I'm like, as a gay man, it's like, humor is like something that queer people should strive for, because a lot of queer people have been through pain
of
and like
gayness.
Yeah, and like turning pain into like humor and just like having some fun. Like, my God, like he's so boring and just thinks he's, oh, it's, I'm very triggered by him.
Yeah, same. I can't wait till he's away from my screen, but then I also can't get enough. So it's a Vanderpump love hate that I experience. But I truly, after this episode, I'm like, Meredith is on pills. Like, there's no explanation for her whole body. Like, she's basically like swaying in the breeze and during a conversation at one point, and like doesn't make eye contact and is like just out of it. Like, she's out of it. Am I wrong?
No, she's out of it. And like, I think she got dressed on pills.
She's medicating because she's in the midst of a demonic possession.
What do you
at the hands of her gay son, her gay serious son.
What do you want to get?
What do you want to get?
Yes. I when I was watching her last week, I was like, she truly is Catherine O'Hara in Waiting for Guffman at the Chinese restaurant, like blackout. What's it like being with a circumcised man?
Yeah, her. I was just like, I forget the theory that she's on pills until I saw her in the hotel room talking to Lisa in Vegas, where she literally like could not stand up. And
yeah,
I was like, oh yeah, she's on Oxy.
Whitney invites Diane Warren and her two siblings for like a family dinner at her home because her husband's away, and she invites her half brother, and I didn't realize he's her dad's son.
Yeah.
Because they look so much alike.
Will and Shaylee.
Will and Shaylee are very...
family gathering.
Yeah, they're very checked out with Diane's, like, addiction and, like, the wreckage she's caused. And, like, they're less attached to him than Whitney. And they're... But Whitney's like, guys, we really... Like, I think he's really trying. Like, let's just try to, like, be there for him. So she invites them over. It's kind of a sweet moment. They have like a little family dinner. Her sister seems really wounded by him, and it's kind of sad.
Yeah, it's intense. Like, seems like they have a lot of healing to do, and they're very reticent to trust Diane. But after this scene, I just wrote in my notes, I love Diane.
Yeah.
She's grateful for her addiction because it brought her to this point, and she, I guess, she's kind of talked this talk a lot of times in the past, so, and then has slipped back into use and usage, drug usage. But I think Diane is ultimately a sweetie, and I root for her to get sober and have a fulfilling relationship with her children.
And it's sweet, like, Shaylee, like, is really, like, when Whitney invites her, you can tell she's really like, okay, I'll go. But she's, but then the minute she sees her dad, she, like, kind of melts and hugs him, and it's sweet. So I hope, I wish them well with their path to healing together. Mm-hmm. And I hope he stays sober.
Me too. We go back to Cucina Toscana, which is now my home away from home. All I want to do is dine at Cucina Toscana. When COVID's over, we're going.
No, I really want to do a show there, and I want to eat at Cucina. Like,
yeah,
you can't stop
Cucina
me.
And Walters.
Walters, Osteria. So Sharif and Jen want to set Heather up with Sharif's best friend, Keith, a.k.a. Big Daddy. They've been friends for 30 years. It's kind of cute. They head there and they're waiting for Heather. She shows up. She looks great. Just like, I think she's wearing like a suit or something, or like she just looks really.
Heather's ready. She's in boss mode, and she's ready to meet someone and potentially have a love connection and get dicked down.
Jen's this whole episode, she's kind of on a mission to like repair her and Jen's way of like asking for forgiveness is just giving people things, so like she's trying to do that with Heather,
which is not a good way to
solve
a problem or ask for forgiveness. It's just like, at first I was like, oh, that's sweet, but then when she takes Heather shopping, like, I was just like, okay, this is too much, and now you're like doing this with a mission to get something back and to like have something to hold over someone's head so they give you what you want.
Yeah,
and like that's just a
It's manipulative. It's
all contractual and very manipulative.
Keith shows up and he's like really tall and cute, but he's like very awkward, and like Heather's into him when he first sits down. Like she's, her game turns on and she's in like full like dick
charming,
down mode.
Charming, flirty. Yeah. She turns it right on.
But Keith orders a cranberry orange juice, which was like, fine, like it was a kind of a weird order, but Heather's kind of like, that's a red flag in her eyes.
Yeah, she doesn't like that he's not drinking.
which I understand,
like I've been there before, but at the same time I'm now of the mind where I'm like, if someone's not drinking, I'm actually like, that's amazing. Like,
yeah,
thank
like
God,
there's probably a reason they're not drinking.
Yeah, and like love that for them, and let's not get hung up on it, let's like try and move forward. But Heather is really having a hard time reconciling his drink beverage choices.
I thought it was weird. She kind of thinks he's like a baby, and like he's a little shy, and like I think he's probably not used to being on camera, so he's like a little like, he's a little aware of like, he looks like he's turning red at one point. But
imagine having your first a blind date with someone on camera.
No, it's
in a group setting.
And it's really weird, and Heather tries, and then she's very, like, there's a wall almost immediately. The minute he, like, explains what he does, which he's really passionate about, he's, like, helps student-athletes, like, reach their potential. Like, he's, like, a counselor, kind of. She's, like, so plugged out.
Yeah.
She's like, so what do you do in Pennsylvania? And he's like, well, I'm glad you asked me that.
She calls it, she's like, I wasn't really impressed with his sober TED talk, which made me laugh.
Yeah.
It was kind of a sober TED talk, but there just weren't, the sparks did not fly between Big Daddy and Heather, unfortunately.
Yeah, Jen's like, we're going to go dancing after this. You and Big Daddy, and then Heather goes, no, 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 no.
And he wanted to get dessert.
No.
Let Big Daddy get dessert. Oh, God, I'm dreaming of Cucina Toscana.
Me too.
We'll probably be there. I'm like astral projecting, seeing us there in a booth, living, laughing, loving, fucking pigging the fuck out. It's going to be amazing.
I bet it's really cold in there.
Amazing. Really? I bet it's warm. I bet they have heat, a lot of heat lamps that they will pull up to your table if you need them.
Maybe.
Don't talk shit about Cucina.
Yo, don't talk shit about.
Don't. You're like, I let you get away with a lot of things, but I'm not letting you get away with that. I'm going to hold you accountable. Me, I turn immediately into that lady.
So Whitney is like, she knows she's on thin ice with like the whole group except Heather. So she's like,
what's something I can do that will make everyone happy? Invite them to Vegas on a trip that I planned and force them to be in enclosed spaces with me.
So she texts all the girls separately, and there's like this whole thing of her sending each of them a text. Jen and Heather are immediately like, fuck yes.
Love it.
And then
I love Meredith's response. Not really my scene, but I guess I'll give it a shot.
She goes, Vegas isn't really my scene, but I can probably make it. I was like, what do you mean?
Lisa just is like, I'll consider it. I'll have to think about it.
And thank you for the invite.
Follows up. Yeah.
You see the side of Lisa that's a little scary in this episode.
Yeah, she is all about power moving on people that she hates. And I respect it, but I would not want to be on the receiving end of it. Vegas. And Mary just flat out says she won't go if Jen goes.
She goes, I'd rather be on a plane with mice. I was like, what? Where your mind goes is like...
Your brain.
So off.
Yeah,
very so that's the strange. Last we see of Mary.
I love too, Whitney. It's like she doesn't understand that she could just apologize. She's has yet to apologize and be like, hey, I'm so sorry for sticking my nose where it didn't belong and like stirring up drama and making everyone else's business my business. That was my bad. She still, by the end of this episode, hasn't really said that.
Yeah, Meredith and Lisa kind of call on the side and they're like, what are we going to do about this?
They're like, we hate her, but to Vegas we must go.
Then Meredith is talking to Brooks about it, and he goes, why would I go? She goes, are you sure you don't want to come with me? And he goes, why would I do that? I don't know Vegas. Or no, he says something. She's like, does this outfit look Vegas appropriate? And he goes, why would I know that? I don't go to Vegas. It's like the prostitution capital of the world. Cool. Brooks.
He could use a little release of some sort.
Yeah.
Maybe he just needs to come and then he'll get like, he'll loosen up a little bit.
I don't go to, it's like, who are you? Brooks.
Yeah. I mean, Vegas, I get it's not really my scene either.
Yeah, of course.
But I guess I would go. I've always gone if my friends are going. Like, I go.
I'm thinking more just like, just be a little more fun when you say things. Like, don't just be like,
where's the applause?
Where's the laughter? I'm just like,
where is the laughter energy?
He's talking to his mom and he's like, it's the process. It's like, shut up. Like, yeah, everyone knows there's like sex work in Vegas. Like, it's legal. It's not a big deal.
Yeah.
Shut up.
You might want to try it out sometime. You need someone to jerk the laughter out of you.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The weather's getting warmer, so it's time to say goodbye to my jackets and sweaters and hello to shorts and tees. I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long haul summertime without spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince. Now I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic and comfy year after year.
Quince has it all, like premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more.
The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that.
As you know, I've been on my fitness journey in 2024, so I'm getting into athleisure wear a lot. I have Quince long sleeve shirts, shorts, t-shirts. I wear it to the gym. I wear it out. I wear it to Whole Foods. I wear it to 7-Eleven to buy my Diet Cokes. I'm wearing it all over town.
And people are noticing.
People are fucking noticing.
Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/sexyunique for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/sexyunique to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/sexyunique.
A new quarter brings new goals, but what about your skincare goals? Small, easy changes in your routine can have amazing results, and your secret weapon should be Dime Beauty.
Dime Beauty is clean, high-end skincare that is affordable, and it really works. Dime didn't sacrifice performance just to make it clean, either. And when I say clean, Dime is 100% transparent about every single ingredient, so you can use their products daily with confidence. I have been using Dime Beauty's TBT cream and their Dewy Daily Cream. TBT cream is a retinol alternative that I put on at night before I go to bed, and it's actually been making my skin look glowy and snatched, if I do say so myself.
I've noticed that, and I think our listeners have noticed too, because I've been picking up on a bunch of TikTok comments that have been like, you're glowing recently. So hats off to Dime. No one has time to remember the order of a 10-step skincare routine. The Work System from Dime Beauty has everything you need in one powerful package. It includes a gentle cleanser, a toner, two incredible serums, and two luxurious moisturizers.
Plus, my favorite, Dime's TBT cream, is finally back in stock. Check that out while you're there.
Dime has over 2 million happy customers, and their product reviews are literally all 5 stars. This year, love your skin again. Go to dimebeautyco.com now and unlock your discount. That's dimebeautyco.com. So the gals all meet at the airport, and Whitney has Vegas extensions in, and she's like, where's Lisa? And then I love Meredith goes, Lisa's already there. Which power move numero uno, which is, we find out later that Lisa never even RSVP'd to the trip, like never said if she was coming or not, and then decided that she had work to do in Vegas, so she was just there working and like will happen to liaise with the girl. And I was like, wow, this is like, she's 5 steps ahead of you at all times. Classic, yeah. Lisa Barlow.
Don't think behind that like kind of party conversation demeanor of just like quip, little social quips. She's actually full of machinations, strategy. Oh,
yeah. It's a chess game. It's a queen's gambit.
She
with
is
Lisa Barlow,
and she is winning. So mm-hmm. So they all had on a plane, and being on a plane looked really nice. And I just being mask free on a plane looked really nice.
I literally haven't been on a plane in a year.
Yeah.
I miss the hustle and bustle of just like blazing through the airport.
Arriving at LAX,
kind of sweaty, kind of nervous, but then ultimately soothed because I paid for clear. So you just put your fingertips on a thing.
I know, it's always a little scary walking into the airport.
Yeah, I'm always like, will I make it? And then I'm like, I will, because I have TSA pre-check and clear. So basically, I'm like, take all my information.
I'm
look
like
inside my head, like take whatever you want, just let me skip the line.
I'm like, will I make it on the flight? Like, will I perish?
I'm just like, just trying to travel with Tony. Usually I have him in a little bag and I put him on top of the roller and he sticks his head out and he makes such a splash wherever he goes. And a lot of people comment and I carry him through the check thing. I can't even remember what it's called. It's been so long. And
the I'm security. Wistful.
The security.
The check thing.
I don't
thing.
Even know
What's
the names
thing?
Anymore.
What's
what
that, thing,
that thing
called?
I simply can't remember. But now I think you can't even take dogs.
No.
Which is like,
they've eliminated
the fuck? Emotional support.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess I'm going to have to get him service dog qualified.
Yeah.
I'm like, literally, I will rise to that challenge.
My sister got her dog service dog.
How?
He went through like training and actually goes to like visit people at hospitals. So he like,
yeah,
does.
That's what I'd like from Tony.
She just got him trained when he was really young.
Okay. I'm going to have to get on this because right now he jumps a little too much. The last time I took him to a dog park, a toddler walked by and Tony was so excited. He jumped and just pushed him over.
Oh no.
But the toddler loved it. He was like not scared by dogs. Thank God. Cause I was horrified.
Can't be scared by Tony.
No, but he's a very excitable pug, so he's going to need some training, but just you wait. I'm getting Tony on a fucking plane one way or the other.
I believe you.
Yeah.
That's
the last thing I do.
So they get to the Vegas airport, and they get into, like, a limo. Jen has an entire limo just for her luggage, which I loved. And
yeah,
they're in the car, and Whitney's like, I'm going to call Lisa and see what she's doing. And she calls Lisa and she doesn't answer. And then Lisa calls Meredith. So, like, she clearly screened Whitney's call.
Power move number two.
Two. Whitney's.
Two for two, power move. Lisa, Whitney, zero.
Whitney's visibly shaken by this.
And then she's also stirring shit because in her one-on-one, she goes, I can't do an impression because I can't look like I'm taking a shit and trying to be sexy at the same time.
I was like, you tried and failed.
Yeah, fuck you. Guess what? Lisa Barlow is a queen.
She calls Meredith. Meredith goes, hey, where are you? And she goes, oh, I have work to do here. So Lisa's on the, she's business. She's
business only.
She also is so vague about her like business. I'm like, she's either making it up or she works for the government.
Making it up. I think it's all a ruse. And she's like obtusely ignoring Whitney. And like Whitney keeps trying to be like, hi, Lisa. Hey, what are you? Are you going to join us later? And she's like,
does not answer.
Doesn't answer at all. It's incredible. Power move number three is just like a blatant ignorance of Whitney's very presence.
They get to the Nomad Hotel, which I'm like, random.
I know. I guess it's the same one that's here and then also in New York.
No, I know, but like if you're gonna stay, I feel like if you're gonna stay on the strip, like stay on the strip. Go
in
to the
like
Cosmopolitan. Go to Caesar's. Go to Paris. Paris is my favorite casino to gamble in.
Really?
I love Paris.
Take me to Paris, you say.
Oh,
yeah. I like the Venetian. Not, I don't like any gambling or casino energy, but I do like it's like constantly daylight and the fake little canals. And then there's like a mozza that's there.
I know, I stayed there as a child.
Safe. Yeah, I love the food in Vegas. Like going and just dining at restaurant after restaurant in Vegas would be my dream right now.
Same.
I bet you can do it. Vegas
yeah,
is probably open.
It is.
Damn. See ya.
Bye. They get to the Nomad and there's this gay concierge waiting for them and he recites a poem he wrote for them.
Just wrote Satanic Witchcraft.
And they're like, it's a curse. He like bewitches them. But while he's reading a quote about them, like he's like, the ladies from Salt Lake come to Vegas and together they will have fun and we will give them. It's like this, and then they're all just like looking at each other like, what the fuck? They're like, Meredith is alarmed.
Yeah, he put a spell on them.
They went, wow, that's so nice that you wrote that for us.
Anytime someone stops you and then recites something to you, like when you're not expecting it, they're trying to put a spell on you.
You need to get yourself to like another witch ASAP to learn how to dehex.
Yeah, you need to like pull out some holy water and just lightly spritz them. Just a little in their face.
So they get up to their hotel rooms. Lisa comes to Meredith's room.
This is when I was like, Meredith is fully unwell.
She was like, Meredith's like, bzz.
She was like,
that's where are you?
That's why where you are. Don't trust Whitney.
She's like the.
That's why I won't trust her.
She's like the sister in 16 Candles.
It's gonna be a piece of cake.
Teetering.
Brand.
Remember what Ginny when she's all like, she goes, oh, I can't see with this on, and she takes her wedding veil. That's incredible acting. That's an incredible
so move. Many muscle relaxers.
And she goes, can you move over? And she sits down on her way to the aisle, to the altar.
It's incredible.
And she goes, I like
she was an iconic and underappreciated character.
I've had men before me, but not for 6 months. I've had men love me before, but not for 6 months in a row.
I love also when she's like swanning around her bedroom and like taking lemons and rubbing them on her elbows as yeah. she like talks to her sad little sister. And like, I was just like, she goes, is gold.
She goes, Sam, I don't have time for this. She asks Molly Ringwald to tell her what's happening. And then the minute she tells her one thing, she goes, Sam, I don't have time for this. It's my wedding tomorrow. And then leaves the room. Oh my God. Meredith is fully her. Ginny.
She is. Jenny at the wedding.
She goes, that's why I'll never be able. She goes, I'll never be able to fully trust Whitney.
Well, Jen pulls then her own power move / revenge against Whitney when they get to the hotel where she's like, Heather, are you ready to come with me? We're going on a special surprise.
Oh yeah,
and then Whitney was like pissed because she planned for everyone to go race car driving together and now she's stuck going race car driving with Terrence and Philip.
Wow. They go,
what? Amazing.
What? Amazing. Where do I have to go? Well, I don't want to go race car driving. Do you want to go race car driving?
Really Meredith's like,
I want to go race car driving. I don't know if we go race car driving. Well, I don't know if we're going to do. I don't want to go with Whitney exactly, but I'll go there if there's cars there because I love cars. And Meredith goes, I want to go to the cars too. Well, I guess we can take it. I got the answer. And if it's weird, we can leave. We can leave early. Meredith goes, yeah, we can leave. We can go.
Ah, we can leave. At least I have you. I have you too.
I have you. Ah. We have each other. Let's have fun. Let's enjoy the desert sun together. And she goes, yes, we'll take. Yes, we'll take the wind. Let the wind whip at our feet. Yes.
That conversation that we had as Terrence and Philip is more lucid than their actual conversation.
I just see them in the hotel room with their heads flapping like pots. We're gonna have fun at the Ferrari track. Let the wind whip at our face. That's what I want. Yes, I want that too. But if it's way over, leave
thank
together.
God, we have each other.
We can together. We will fight this as one. So then we see. Jen takes Heather to a like fully. She has this like room set up in the lobby of the hotel, and it's like shoes, like designer clothes. Like she's having like a pop up shop just for Heather. So she's like trying to win her back. And she's like, I brought this all for you. And she has these two, retail like associates stylists there, and one of them's name is Dominic, and he's.
Yeah, I was like, ooh.
He's like on meth.
They also, I'm like,
he's doing meth with Heather's ex-husband.
Yeah, Warren Jeffs and him are messing it up. A private shopping moment is cool and like love that for them, but I'm also like, is that really a surprise? Like, can't you just go to the stores?
I mean, it's cute that Jen like surprised her with this. And I think sometimes it is fun to like treat your friend to something who's, until she freaked out at the end, I thought this was pretty genuine.
Yeah.
I think it's a little weird that she like, it wasn't with like all the girls and it was just with Heather. Like that was a little like, that was strategic and like kind of fucked up.
Yeah. I think of a surprise as being like, it's not a surprise to me to go shopping and me spend money. Like a surprise would be you buy me something.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like
I was,
you take me somewhere and buy me something.
Oh, I thought she was
like
getting it for free.
No, I think that it was like, we now are going to buy all the stuff together.
Oh.
I was under the impression that it was like, we're going to go shopping now, which I'm like, I mean, I won't turn down an opportunity to go shopping, but that's not a surprise. A surprise is like a gift of some sort.
Oh, I thought for some reason, I might have not been paying attention enough, but for some reason I thought Jen was treating her.
Oh, I don't know. Readers weigh in. What was happening?
Because if that's like that story Mike from Lohan Beach Club told us where Lindsay brought him to like Hermes or something and she was like, choose anything you like. And then he chose like this really nice thing and she was like, okay, now buy it.
Yeah, that's what it seemed like to me, was like, it was very much that, which I'm like, okay. Cool. I wasn't looking to buy spend like $5,000 on shoes, but like, I guess I'll do it.
So they like drink champagne and get kind of drunk and chit chat. And then the other ladies head to the desert for a Ferrari race, like an exotic car racing track. And Lisa's like, she goes, I've been around. Whitney's like, so you're saying that you have actually been around exotic cars? And she goes, oh, yes, many times. She's like, I'm friends with Dempsey. You know, Patrick Dempsey. He's an exotic car racer himself. And I've accompanied him to the tracks many times. Dempsey, you know, Dempsey. It's like, okay, yeah.
Their awkward, like, ride to the tracks where no one was speaking. I was like, this is, like, heroin to me to watch these women just sit in silence. And then Whitney being like, hey, what were you out in Vegas for, Lisa? And then Lisa be like, just working for our brand. Really busy.
Clearly she and Meredith
and then
are like,
you see Whitney kind of turn back to Meredith and like smile like, I'm trying, but like, And then Lisa's like, I actually love this racetrack. Patrick Dempsey. He loves to race there.
Yeah.
And then I think, doesn't Whitney say something? And then Lisa just answers her phone.
Yeah, Whitney says something else and then someone calls and she's like, hello?
So busy.
She goes, hi, Drew. Hi. So busy. She and Meredith were totally texting in the car.
They were.
That's like the worst.
Do not ever turn to Meredith and think she has your back over Lisa's. She doesn't.
That's like the
she rides and dies for Lisa Barlow.
That's like the worst thing, knowing that someone's two people are texting about you.
Yeah, being in a car with two people that hate you, and they're aligned in a text thread about you.
Hell.
While you're sitting there. And then they get to the track and the guys are like talking to Lisa about what car she's going to drive. And she's just like, wow, amazing.
Amazing. And you think, I was like, wow, Lisa's really going to rip it on the track. But she actually like sucks at driving.
She talks a big game and then drives like she's just on the highway.
Whitney and Meredith are actually pretty good.
Yeah, they put the pedal to the metal and drive like 110 miles an hour. Lisa clocks in at a cool 70.
Which I'm like,
a sensible 70.
I'd be there.
Yeah, I mean, she's playing it safe. She, you know, she has a brand to work for. She has a lot going on and a lot of things to do. I can't go 100 miles an hour today. That would not be amazing.
And then she and Whitney kind of make up and they realize like, she's like, they kind of realize like Mary was actually like the real shit stirrer there, and Whitney was kind of like just a ill-timed messenger.
Yeah, but at the same time, Whitney's apology is a non-apology.
Yeah.
She doesn't take full accountability.
No. But Lisa's like, I will forgive her this time.
I actually forgive really easily. And so I forgive her, and it's amazing.
And Meredith goes, yes, it's amazing. And then she goes, yes, it's amazing. Let's head back to Vegas and have some drinks.
I love Vegas.
I love Vegas. We'll take the convertible down on the strip. Top off. Let the lights come in.
On the strip.
Let the gambling. Air that doesn't have. Come in.
Showgirls.
Showgirls. Gambling. Lights. Blue Man Group. And then we go back.
Oh my God. Also, when Jen and Heather were shopping, Jen tries on what looks to be a Versace suit and then is really feeling herself and models on the bar. And it, like, the employees are taking photos of her and she's like, I'm shamazing and you can't buy my tits because my plastic surgeon retired. And I was like, I love that. And then she's like, ha ha. And then dismounts from the bar and literally like falls off the bar.
She like totally like twisted her. She like rolled her ankle.
Yeah, it looked painful in the instant replay. But I was here for her shamazing journey.
Can't buy my tits.
Can't buy my tits because my plastic surgeon retired.
Love that.
I love that. But also, like, who's going to do your tits then? Like, you should try and find some. Like, I would want a backup surgeon.
Yeah, upkeep.
Yeah. I mean, you can't just, like, get tits and they're fine forever.
As we know from Danielle. Mm-hmm. And then Jen and Whitney or Heather start talking about Whitney and it turns into, like, Jen's basically like, everyone fucking hates Whitney and we only put up with her because we all love you.
Which is not true.
But she also keeps going, she's your friend. And I was like, wait, she's her cousin, though. It's like,
yeah, she's her family.
They're family. It's not like, yeah. I think she forgot they were, like, I was like, they're not, it's not like she's just like friends with her. It's like, that's her blood. So she's going to have her back.
What made Jen so angry in this moment? Do you think it was booze again? Because she goes 0 to 60.
Yeah, she was drinking. Like,
It was based off of nothing. I was like, how did she just get this suddenly revved up?
No, she was fully like, they were like boozing. So she was definitely like a little champagne-ed up and her wrath came out. You could see it. Like her face got like kind of red and like, she was like, looked a little sweaty and was like she and Heather looked like they'd been drinking for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she was just like pissed.
Yeah. And all it took was like bringing up Whitney's name. And then she was right back. Heather's like, what? Like, what? I thought that everything was good. And they like apologized. Like, why is she going fucking Hulk on me?
She's like,
Jen literally went like, Heather's like, yeah, it's so nice that Whitney planned this. And she's like,
Whitney, I don't fucking trust her. What the fuck? She's your friend. Whoa.
And you're just like, whoa, Jen. Oh my God.
Whitney. No, you say nothing of her.
Heather's like, fuck. Like,
damn.
I thought we were good. We're cool. Chill. Like we're having fun. Like we're shopping.
We just bought like 10 pairs of shoes each.
And then she takes like she just goes up to the Dominic, the like the shoe guy, and just rips his head off and goes just has the blood squirting. She just puts her face in it. And then Heather's just sitting there.
And hurls it against the wall.
Oh, chucks the head.
She takes like a high heel in each hand and is like, ah! And spears it in the wall and just like rips down, ripping the wall to shreds.
Well, at one point, Heather goes, did Whitney make you throw that glass on the floor? And that really set Jen off. And I was like, that's a good point.
Don't talk about the glass!
And then she goes into the lobby. And runs up to one of the slot machines and just lifts it up fully and just goes, ah! And just lifts it, throws it through the roof of the hotel and it goes into space and then annihilates another civilization. It speeds like a comet and hits a planet and destroys an entire other civilization. Jen has killed multiple planets. They call her Planet Killer.
Killed Yeah, galaxy killer, because like it throws off homeostasis of entire galaxies, and like alien species have been wiped out, and we are primed for intergalactic war unlike anything we've ever imagined, thanks to Jen's anger issues.
Whitney, no!
She takes a, she picks up another slot machine. She goes, bah! And shakes all the coins into her mouth, and then she goes, like shooting them out at people and killing them in the casino.
And then she takes Paris, like the Eiffel Tower. She climbs to the top of it and she goes, ah! And then lightning strikes her. And she gains even more power and becomes even larger and just starts destroying Vegas. And she goes on a full, like, you know.
She's Godzilla.
She's
rampage.
Fucking Godzilla.
She fucking.
No!
Scorches Vegas and starts slowly walking to Los Angeles. And all the, like, it's like one of those disaster movies where they're like, they're on the route. There's something shaking. We feel, Los Angeles feels like a crazy earthquake. And like buildings fall downtown. Everyone's like, wow, wow. And it's like a 9.9 on the Richter scale. And it's because Jen Shah, She-Hulk, is approaching.
But then she's quelled by going to Beauty in Essex in Hollywood.
Yeah. And she's like, shamazing.
And then she signs like an overall deal with Sony.
She's like, I love it. The booze wears off, and then she's like, oh, where am I? She like comes to in the Mojave.
Hello?
She's like, I gotta call an Uber. This is not shamazing.
And Stuart comes driving out to the desert.
Stuart.
Well, next week we get a glimpse into them. They're in Vegas. I'm glad they're on a trip, and they go to like some kind of witch, and she
like, you gotta get a mystic involved.
Totally. She looks wild.
Whitney, lover or hater, she's doing the work.
She is. God, she's really, so she really is like pulling. Like she's organizing the trip. She's like,
she's finding a mystic. She's, you know, saying her lines that she's instructed to. She says again in this episode, like two separate times, she's like, I was trying to say, I was surprised. I was just surprised to sit to. And I'm just like, we get it, Whitney. You were surprised. Like, come up with something else to say. So that's why I was really surprised to hear that Mary said that they were afraid of you.
Well, it's not about Mary here, so we'll just say we'll call it a draw here. And Meredith's like, yes, we'll call it a draw.
I love that Lisa and Meredith go, no one speaks for me. And then Meredith goes, no one speaks for me either. You have to be pretty brave to go up against them as a united front.
No one speaks for me either.
No one speaks for me. Not amazing.
No one speaks for me either.
No one speaks for me either. She's like, okay, cool. What do you think? We go back to the hotel and get dinner now.
And they go, yes. Amazing. That sounds amazing.
That sounds amazing. I have to say, sounds amazing.
And then Meredith just falls completely face first onto the sand.
I feel like Meredith's going to be in a wheelchair by the end of this season, just getting like pushed around, kind of drooling on herself. No one is addressing the elephant in the room, which is that Meredith can barely stand. Her eyes are not focused on anything. She's like wavering in the breeze.
No one speaks for me either.
No one speaks for me either.
Let's go back to
her head is always like cocked 90 degrees to the side.
Let's go back to Atlantic City.
They're like, Mayor, we're in Vegas. That's what I said.
That's what I said.
Don't speak for me.
Do not speak for me. Well, things are looking up. So I'm happy with this episode, and love hearing everyone's thoughts and
rocky ride. Someone commented that we're the only podcast talking about SLC that has mixed feelings / negative feelings, and everyone else is like living, laughing, and loving it. And to that I say, What are they watching?
Yeah, we're not.
It's been a roller coaster.
Laura and I are like, we're not being contrarian. Like, we fully want this to be a good season. So I don't know what everyone else is like. Show me that season.
Yeah. And I root for like a amazing, amazing second season.
I root for the show.
I have faith. I root for the show and I think that it could work. But I've got to speak my truth.
Yeah.
We're truthers on this podcast. SLC truthers.
Guys, you can follow Laura at Lars Marie on Instagram and Twitter. And
you can follow Carrie at Toscana_Cucina.
And there's a Patreon you can subscribe to for $5 a month that has really great bonus episodes, like the one on this weekend and other episodes from the past.
That's at patreon.com/sexyuniquepodcast. We answer reader mail. We make lists of things to talk about and then talk about them. It's amazing.
Amazing.
It's truly an amazing space.
It's an amazing space.
And I really recommend you check it out.
Love and light to all of you. Stay safe, wear a mask, and
stay safe, watch Bling Empire, and let's talk about it.
Bye.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.